This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Did you hear what Rosenberg said?
I don't want to be Jake Tapper.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Derrick Henry and the Purple Birds. That's right. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What happened?
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to ENN on this Friday evening. I'd like to start off by saying good evening to Michael.
Oh, my God.
And to Don.
If college football was a big steaming pile of dung, he'd be living inside it, rubbing it all over his face.
And I'd like to say good evening to Chris Carlin.
I'd like to see the fat guy over there high. What does that look like?
Christopher, how are you?
I'm outstanding. I'm. Thank you for asking me to join you. I appreciate that very much.
Oh, please. Well, there's a subject. Yeah, you mean or
somebody jamming me down your throat?
No, well, it's
I'd like to use the term foisted.
Yeah, foisted is fair. Foisted is fair.
Yeah, both could absolutely be true. It's one of those things that we just happen to like it, but if we didn't, the same thing would happen.
That's a great point by Don.
Yeah, that's the definition of foisting, right there.
Yeah, big. You're a big foist guy. You
know? Yeah, my whole career has been foisted. Yeah, I've been foisted on many people.
Some people feel that I'm foisted upon the tri-state twice a day, every day. Let's start off with a subject, though, that you, I know, have strong feelings about, and that would be Aaron Judge being out of the lineup today against Tampa. By the way, the game almost over, ninth inning, Yankees down 10-5.
Oh, eight
over. But it's over?
Yeah, 10-5.
Sorry. So it is over. Let's start out with Aaron Boone talking about Judge not being in the lineup. Mr. Boone?
Just felt like I wanted to at least wait another day. Had a good day of treatment late afternoon and into the evening yesterday. Same this morning, actually hit in the cage already, and that went well. And again, I just felt like it was something I wanted to at least give another day, and we'll see where we're at in 24 hours. It's simply wanting to play the long game and not force anything back in, just to be safe at this point right now. And, you know, we'll see where we're at in 24 hours.
Our own Marley Rivera followed up asking if Judge is considered injured.
That's a good question. I don't know how to answer that.
Okay, that's fair.
And if I answer yes or no, it's going to be conflated a lot of different ways. So I don't have him in the lineup today. I feel like he could probably play today. So I don't know. More evaluation in 24 hours. It's a good question, but I'm not sure how to answer it.
Well, Chris, I know you've been marinating all day. You have thoughts. Of course, you'll have more of them at 6:30, but what did you think about this?
I think it's absurd. I think it's absolutely absurd that they continue to protect him at all costs. There was about 15 seconds of dead air prior to that actual answer from Aaron today when that happened. And he said, dang, Marley, that's a good question. I mean, the manager can't even answer the question anymore.
No, because it's very unique to sports, because the answer is something nobody in the Yankee organization wants to admit.
Yep.
This guy cannot play every day. The way he plays the game, he cannot possibly play 150 games. He will hurt himself. His body is too big. He swings too hard. So they have to protect him at all costs. Not that he wants it. The Yankee organization wants it. So if he's got an itch, he's going to sit out.
But he's also being protected from having anybody dare call him injury prone. I mean, we all know that this is what it is. And he says, what an absurd statement it is to say, I had a good day of treatment. Who's ever had a bad day? No, the wrong time to ask that question about the bad day of getting treatment and massage.
Yeah.
All right, maybe not the best time to ask that question, but you understand what I'm saying. Like the idea that you could have a bad day of treatment. Oh. He's going through good treatment. Who cares?
And besides, who has an injury but yet still goes through batting practice?
Right.
Because he can function, and Aaron Boone admitted he can play, but because he's important to the team – and it's only April, you know what? We're going to sit him. But that's a really bad optic. So you can't say that. So now you're betwixt in between. Do I say he's injured? Do I say it's a maintenance day? It's
funny, though.
It's load management is what it is.
It's funny,
oh,
though.
I think it's more than that.
But it's funny that they have to protect the truth from us. Because the people who are ultimately affected by this and will make the decisions on this are the people who know. It's a team. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's like you're hiding it from the parents, but the parents already know. Like, what does it matter if you're honest with us about it?
It was load management, I think if you just came out and said, listen, would you rather have Aaron Judge for 140 games or 135 games, and we rest him that many games? I mean, people would deal with that rather than losing him for 50 or 60.
But people would freak out because you can't have load management in baseball. It makes no sense. You have load management in the NBA because that star player, when he plays, is going to play 43 minutes all out trying to win a championship. You're protecting him from four at-bats and standing in the outfield.
I don't think this is load management, though. I don't think he's playing.
It's baseball's version of it. Listen, it's the fact is I could play him today, and he can get his four at-bats, and he can go 3 for 4, but there's a very good chance that that little twinge he has is going to be an oblique, and he's not going to have to put him on the DL.
But what I'm saying is, it's like just fear of the newspapers here. And again, we talk about this when we talk about athletes coming here, guys, and how big the magnifying glass. If this wasn't this kind of town, I think there's a chance that you could be honest and say, hey, this is what we have with Aaron Judge. We have the biggest ball player who's ever lived, okay? When he plays, he is special. But the truth is, we don't really plan on Aaron playing 160 right. games a year. We plan on him playing 125. And so what? What are people going to start booing him now when he plays? As long as he plays well, they're going to cheer for him when he's there.
But all this protection, Chris is right. All this protection it's not protecting him because criticism is still going to be there. It makes it worse because now the organization now looks foolish because you got to wait 15 seconds to answer a question. Is he hurt or not? Well, how is that possibly a tough question? Is he injured or not?
I don't think it's load management right now. I think he's going on the IL. And they just don't.
Well, then he's hurt. Then you just say that he's hurt.
Yeah, I think that they don't want to admit this early in the year right away, and they're trying to figure out how to handle this moving forward. That the guy is injured, and also, is the guy just soft? Is he just soft?
No, I think he wants to play. I think he wants to do this.
That's such a hard call.
I think he wants.
But I think you can ask the question.
I think the big deal is this is not the body type to excel long term in Major League Baseball. It's just.
Are you talking about Carlin or Judge?
No, Judge.
Okay,
I'm built for endurance.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on, guys. There's a lot more.
I understand.
To get to.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Okay, so Deshaun Watson, there's a lot to deal with here today, and some of it is very interesting. A judge decided earlier today, two judges ruled, that most of the plaintiffs suing the quarterback must identify themselves. The rulings from the hearings cover 13 of the 22 lawsuits, right? So seemingly, good news, I suppose, for the defense. Now, what I think maybe the bigger news of the day would be Deshaun Watson's lawyer, Rusty Hardin. And it's funny because at first, you know, me not knowing anything that was going on and just trying to be a talk show host, I had my jokes about Busby at the beginning. Maybe Rusty Hardin is the Simpsons-like lawyer that we should be talking about here. He talked about how at no point did Watson engage in any acts that were not mutually desired but he acknowledged that there were consensual encounters. In some of these massages, there's going to be no question, he said, clarifying. We've never run from it. Now, here's the issue I have with this, guys, besides everything. If you're admitting that some of these massages were, quote, consensual sexual encounters, again, just like the fact that he's gotten massages from a gazillion different women, this does not help the case.
Yeah, totally agree.
There's more and more smoke. It's an inferno. It is a California wildfire in August. Now we're admitting he's had sex with the massage therapist. So you're saying now, okay, it was consensual, but what about the power structure of him being the big famous athlete going to get the massage in the first place? What about if one time, you know, it seemed consensual and the next time she felt pressure? There's so many things
that's
here.
That's
so
true.
It's just, this is a disaster.
I mean, you alluded to it. Lining up 18 more massage therapists to say that you were always a perfect gentleman.
That doesn't help.
No, that means there's 40. There's 40 different massage therapists in the span of, what, 2 years? 3 years? Who does that?
So is it just come down to where he expected that to happen for every massage?
And no, see, that's the thing. That's the thing. I think it's not every massage. I think it's he was probably reading the situations as best he could and then doing whatever he did. Sometimes it worked. Sometimes it didn't. Sometimes he thought it worked. You know, sometimes he ended up apologizing. Who knows? But it's clear that something is wrong here. This is not normal behavior. And I've been saying this the whole time, and this is what I think really pushes this towards a serious problem and or addiction issue for Watson. It just seems like, with his profile, he was just meeting one person after another on the web.
Jeez.
This is going to be a real classic case of addiction, and this is someone who is doing it constantly. And guys, if 40 have come forward, how many are there?
So I've been saying it from the beginning. You have too, Peter. The best thing for him to do is pay the money in the civil suit, admit that you have a sexual addiction, try to get help, beg for forgiveness, and move on.
One, that is, Don, I can't believe that wasn't what was recommended by his lawyer from the beginning. And the more the lawyer fights this with him, the worse it seems to get. And the harder it makes for you to do that. Because you're denying, 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 denying. The sooner he would have just said, I've got a problem, I really was doing things that are messed up, and I didn't even realize how messed up it was. I'm going to do everything I can to make it right and to improve myself as a person, and then you see what happens. But this is, I would bet a year's salary. This does not end cleanly with us finding out that he is vindicated on all counts. What are the odds of that at this point?
It's going to be hard, very hard to do. And the longer he waits, the harder it is going to be for it to be genuine in his apology and his sex addiction. And
if you've been denying the whole time.
Right. So it's going to be less believable, harder to get up from. And if you want to fight this, maybe you can win. But maybe some of the women will drop out once they hear their name has to be made public. Not that the story isn't true, but some women just do not feel comfortable having their name out there, especially against, you know, somebody that is as famous as he is. But they won't all drop out.
All right, guys. So we were talking earlier about how quiet it is for the Masters today, minus Tiger Woods. Justin Rose, by the way, been in the lead basically, I think it was yesterday too, right? 7 under currently for the tournament. Spieth 5 under in fourth. And just not a ton of conversation. Disaster day for Rory McIlroy. Chris, did you see the shot of Rory McIlroy hitting a shot into his father?
I did see that. I mean, like, that is kind of funny.
No, it's amazing. And his dad wasn't hurt. And I was explaining it to Don. It's not like it happened because his dad was, you know, really close and it was an errant shot. Like, it was a somewhat errant shot, but his dad was in the gallery like 150 yards away.
No, I think like 210. And if he was aiming, it was a hell of a shot. You know, I don't think he was aiming at his father, but, you know.
And someone's like, did you just hit your dad? And Rory sort of laughing was like, yeah. Anyways, Rory's 8 over. Last I saw, Rory was 8 over for the tournament.
I just had a vision of that, like being the you know, if you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball scene.
Yeah, very good call.
You know, like his father was hitting golf balls at him.
So, well, someday that maybe that's Charlie and Michael Kay someday. You know,
maybe
now that Michael's hitting the links.
Yeah, what is your thoughts on that, by the way?
Michael's playing golf. I missed that.
He is going. Oh, yeah. Well, now that he's vaccinated, he'll be fully vaccinated tomorrow because that's when the 2 weeks kicks in.
Right.
That he is going to take golf lessons. He's going to become a golfer.
Wow.
Yeah.
He signed up for 5 lessons.
Just call me Tiger K.
That's all it'll take, right? It's a really easy sport to pick up. So I'm sure the 5 lessons will have him money, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I shot 101 yesterday, and I've only been playing for 20 years. So, yeah, it's a real easy sport to pick up.
Yeah, you might, because you know Michael. Michael has no problem not being great. Michael's very comfortable with average to below average in everything he does. Come on.
Well, I have always been that way, and yes, I agree with that. But you know where he will fit in? He will fit in at the 19th hole on the patio of the golf course of the country club, having a old fashioned.
No,
you know that's what. That's where it'll work.
Here's where it's going to go. First of all, I don't think he's making it through the 5 lessons. I think he'll quit before because he'll be too frustrated. And if he does make it to where he's golfing out there with Breen and you know, Van Gundy when the ABC guys are in town to do like a Nick or Ned game, right? Mm-hmm. On that 19th hole, he's going to be telling everybody how he's never playing golf again because he shot like a 150 through the front nine and he's done.
How would that go? Go ahead, Peter. I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, I don't think – Don's belief is that Michael is so competitive that he won't be able to handle not being good.
That's right.
And I guess it's a matter of do you enjoy playing sports or not, right? Because I am a competitive person. But when it comes to sports, I have not even sports, it's golf. Like when I play tennis, for example, right? Like I play tennis, but I rarely get to play with anyone. I have one good friend I play with. Neither of us are great. We love to play. And I take some lessons. But then, like, my agent is, I can tell, better than me at tennis. And we were once at a friend's house with a tennis court, and we just picked up rackets and started hitting. And I wanted to, like, prove something that I could play with him, because tennis is that kind of game. And I'm like, I feel like I should be able to play with him. You can't have that attitude with golf. And unless you start off good, like, you really start off thinking you have a chance to get good, like, then that would be interesting. If all of a sudden his first day out, it actually comes to him, well, then I could see that being an issue. Well, but assuming that's not the case, Don, you're so built in to be bad that you just like, yeah, you have a good attitude.
He's not, but he doesn't have a good attitude about losing.
Or about life.
And everything, he doesn't even recognize when he's winning in life, all right? Because he's so competitive. But think about this. Do you think it's any kind of coincidence that this person is as competitive as anybody that I know? And never played sports? Who is into sports the way Michael is? As competitive as Michael, has never played sports. Why do you think that is? Because he wasn't good at it and couldn't take it and quit.
It wouldn't go well for me if I was on the course with those kind of guys that you're talking about. And they're, you know, Breen, I'm sure, is like a 2 handicap. And I'm not playing well. And I'm struggling to hit 100, struggling. That would be tough.
And I speak from experience. That's the way I am.
I just enjoy going out and playing.
I'm the one that threw the Nintendo against the wall when my brother beat me at Blades of Steel. I'm the one that we couldn't play badminton in the backyard because I kept breaking the rackets when he beat me.
Well, he deserved that.
So I know, but I'd find something I was good at and I'm competitive and I play the softball and I try to do stuff, but I know golf would break me.
All right, Don, for a minute, though, real quick, more bougie, golf or tennis?
Ooh, that's tough.
Oh, wow. You know what? It might be tennis.
I think it is tennis.
But that is weird, though. It really should be.
Because at least
golf.
You can drink and smoke when you golf.
Yeah, but
exactly.
But the thing is, when you play tennis, you're actually working out.
Right, but, I mean, you know.
And like, also, tennis.
I picture you with a sweater tied around your neck.
No,
playing
please.
Tennis.
And by the way, in tennis, you can just grab a cheap racket and go to a public place to play, and it costs
you can do
nothing.
The same thing with golf,
not for nothing. Even public courses, you're still ending
yeah, there
up
is
these
a
days
pick, there is a pickup game kind of mentality to tennis, right, where you can go to the high school that's got a tennis court and jump the fence and play a couple of uh couple of games.
I've, Williams sisters. I've never come across any ruffians going to play tennis.
Well, listen, but they're not ruffians.
But the Williams sisters were able to pick up tennis. The Williams sisters were able to play tennis in courts in Compton.
Right.
Like, that wasn't an option for a golf course.
Right.
I mean, listen, I played in some pretty, you know, dog track like golf courses.
Oh, wow. Sorry. I'm sorry to cut you off, Chris. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No,
Andrew just hit me with such a great text about Michael that, Don, this really, this gets to the core of what you're talking about.
Oh, I like that.
Andrew says, and I quote, "The problem with golf is that there's nowhere to hide when it's not going well. Everyone is watching you. If you're someone who is even mildly self-conscious, that can be stressful." So that's the point. Can Michael deal with that?
Yeah. No. I mean, as someone that I played in a pro-am and was paired up with Lee Trevino and Jim Harbaugh.
Was this Happy Gilmore in real life?
I hit the back of a scoreboard, and my phone went off in the middle of Lee Trevino's swing.
Oh, my God, Chris, that is incredible.
It was
Did Trevino
so
do the same thing to you that he does in Happy Gilmore when he's disgusted?
He almost did. But the next
year. And for the record, I just last thing on golf.
Yeah.
Nothing gets me madder. Like, I play with people, basically no one I play with. I play with, like, my cousin is pretty good. But I rarely play with anyone good. And, Chris, I don't know about you. My favorite thing is when you're playing with people who all shoot around, I don't know, 100 or slightly over, anywhere basically 95 and up. Mm-hmm. When they get mad at anything, I look at them and I'm like, who do you think you are? you play 20 times a year. Do you know what it takes to be good at this game? They play 350 days a year. Who the hell do you think you are? You stink. You stink at the sport, and you should laugh at it. They sit there banging their club like they really – oh, I should have. Really? You should have? You can't do anything, you hack. But these are – but fortunately, I play with people I'm friends with, so I can say this out loud, and we have a good laugh, and that's that. And by the way, speaking of hack, that'll do it for ENN on this Friday evening. WrestleMania, the kickoff show, 7 p.m. tomorrow and Sunday on the WWE Network on Peacock.
Who's hosting?
I'm on the kickoff show, Chris. I'm glad you
asked. Oh, that's coincidental.
That's all you need to know. Now, Chris Carlin's coming up next here on 98.7 ESPN New York, leading you into the Knicks and the Grizzlies. I'm going to be over on 10:50 for Rangers and Islanders. So you're set up for the weekend. Have a great one, everybody. Chris, goodbye. Peter, goodbye. And
happy
we'll
weekend,
see
all.
You on Monday on 98.7 ESPN New York.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.